Turn your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And the message entitled is Living by Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, let's begin reading in verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Our lives as a child of God are to be lives of faith. That's how our relationship with God began, was by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for grace I am saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you think you can do something to earn or to deserve your salvation, you are deceived, because it's by faith. It's not of me, it's not of you, it's of what God did for us that we could not do for ourselves. Look at Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship as a child of God begins by faith. It's not by things we see. It's not by things we can do. It's by believing what God has done for us and receiving that. That gift of God, as it said in Ephesians chapter 2. Also, our life ends with faith. Go back to our text here in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, first verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch is the only type of a New Testament saint found in the Old Testament. Says Enoch was walking with God one day, and instead of going home, he went to be with the Lord. It says God translated him, took him from one place to the next. The rest of his life was spent with God in heaven. That's what's going to happen to the child of God at the point of the rapture. By faith, his life ended by faith. Look at verse 13. It says, these all died in faith. All these people from the Old Testament that Paul is writing about here in Hebrews 11. He says, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed them they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. But as Enoch was translated by faith, these died in faith and then received God's promises. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Talking about, well, let's back up a little bit. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. If you're saved this morning, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has an inheritance awaiting you. It's reserved for you in heaven. It's already there. That promise, you haven't seen it yet, but it will be fulfilled. But look what it says now in verse 5. Verse 4 again, for inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I know that when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. And it's not because of anything I do. I didn't do anything to get myself saved. I can't do anything to keep myself saved. I'm kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. It's going to be revealed. So our life begins with faith. Our life ends with faith. But even more importantly, in between, our life is to be lived by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. That's the way our lives are to be lived, in between that salvation that we got by faith and the ending of our life by faith. Faith is to guide us throughout. In fact, this verse is repeated three times in the New Testament. Once in Romans, once in Galatians, and then finally here in Hebrews. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says this. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I think that's one of the things we Christians balk against the most. Well, what about? Well, what's next? No, it's the next step you only worry about. We walk by faith, not by sight. One step at a time. The word, the Bible says, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God just shows us, oftentimes, at least with me anyway, just the next step. I don't always see what's down the road. It's just the next step. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So spiritually, I've died. In fact, I was dead in trespasses and sins before I got saved. God brought me to life again. But now, as God has brought me to life, he wants to live that life through me, and it's to live by faith. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's to characterize my life as a child of God. And he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's where we struggle a lot. Because we want to see the whole thing mapped out before us. And God doesn't work like that. It's a life of faith. The question before us this morning is, am I trusting God for anything that I cannot possibly do myself? Are you living by faith? Am I depending upon God to do what cannot be accomplished by my own efforts? What in your life is it only possible to be done if God does it? Hebrews 11, you go through and you read all these individuals that are mentioned here, and it talks about their lives and the things they accomplished, and they demonstrated acts of faith. Go back to Hebrews 11 again. God spoke to these people, and they responded. Hebrews chapter 11, look down to verse 31. Let's pick it up there. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. As the people of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt and they'd gone through the Red Sea and God destroyed the armies of Pharaoh in the Red Sea without telling them what he was going to do or how he was going to do that, God just did it for them. They had to get to the sea. They had to step in. God parted the waters. They went through. God took care of the armies. They went through the wilderness. Then they went into the Jordan River and got into the promised land. The first battle that the people of Israel fought was at Jericho. And this woman, Rahab, a harlot, lived in a wall around the city of Jericho. When the spies came first to check the thing out, she hid them. She protected them at great danger to herself. But it says again this, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies of peace. Because of what she did, she was spared when the city of Jericho was destroyed. She and her family were spared because by faith she trusted that they were of God and what they had assured her of would be done. By faith she did that. Verse 32, what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah. All these are judges found in the book of Judges. And the different things that they accomplished. We don't have time to go into the detail on those things. Go back and read the book of Judges. You can find out what it's about if you don't know. Of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. All these men, he mentions, the things they did by faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might have a better resurrection. And others had trial, cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. It wasn't all a piece of cake. But what they did, what they experienced, what they endured, they did by faith. And God rewarded them for that. Look back at verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, the beginning of that nation, of that race of people, by faith, Abraham, was he called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. God came to him one day, says, Abraham, come here. And he went. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and heirs with him of the same promise. He didn't know where he was going. He just went. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 12, if you want to go back on that. But God just came to him one day. And it doesn't even appear that he was a believer at that point. But when God spoke to him, he became a believer and he responded by faith. Come here, Abraham. It says he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what was ahead of him. He didn't know what the economy was like in that new land. He didn't know what the housing market was like. He didn't know what the job market was like. He just had the call of God on his life to go. And he obeyed and he went. His walk with God began by faith. This God appeared to him one day and he responded to that. And throughout his life, he continued to live by faith. It took him from mediocrity, living in the Ur of the Chaldees with his family and everything, to becoming one of the greatest people on the face of the earth, giving birth to a nation that to this day, several thousand years later, is still in existence and still a special people in God's eyes and in the world as well. And still hated by a lot of people too. But by faith, that whole thing started. He walked with God, began by faith. Throughout his life, he lived by it. He had some testing along the way. He had some struggles along the way. But he submitted to all of that. And God blessed him. And then he had the ultimate test. Look at Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22. God gave some promises to Abraham. One of them was that his offspring would be as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven. And at this point in Genesis 22, he has two children. One was a mistake, not by faith, when he took Hagar, offered by his wife Sarah, and raised up a child there. But God says, that's not the one the promises that I've given you are going to be fulfilled in. Then after they were both past the age of childbearing, Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. They both, it says even Sarah's womb was dead. But she still conceived. And they bore the son Isaac. And now Isaac is probably a young teenager at this point, Hard to pinpoint that exactly, but my guess is somewhere in his teens anyway. And we pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 22 of Genesis. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. God's testing him. God wants to see his faith demonstrated. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, I'm sure as parents of teenage boys, there have been times when if God would say that to us, we say, good deal. But when you came to actually fulfill it, there'd be some hesitation, I'm sure. Think about that. This is what God is asking him to do. I want you to sacrifice this child. I want you to, the one that all my promises are wrapped up in, resting upon, I want you to sacrifice him. And what does Abraham do? Verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning. There was no delay. There was no argument. There was no resistance. There was strictly obedience. First thing in the morning, gets up and heads out and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had called him, told him. Then on the third day, so they travel for 3 days to do this now. Third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, Abraham doesn't know how this is going to come to pass. But his confidence, his faith is in God. He says, we're going to go. We're going to make this offering. And I and the lad whom I'm supposed to sacrifice will be back. The only thing he's got is the promise that in Isaac, the promises are going to be fulfilled that God has given to him. But that's enough for him. And he obeys. And we're going to come back to you. Verse 6. Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son and took the fire in his hand and a knife. He's ready to carry through with this. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abram his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Didn't you forget something, Dad? We're supposed to make a sacrifice. And we've got all that's necessary to do it except the most important thing, that which is the sacrifice. You know, Isaac's exhibiting some faith here too. He's following his father to do what God told him to do. Verse 8, Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. You don't worry about that, boy. God's got it. Just trust God. Life of faith. So they went both of them together. Verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built there an altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. And he's submissive through all of this. As the altar has been built and the wood's been laid out, and then Isaac is laid out on that. And then Abraham begins to bind him to that altar. I think he's figured out what's going on now by this point. And there's no evidence of any resistance. Abraham's over 100 years old. I would think a teenage boy would be able to put up some resistance against an old man like that, right? But there is none. And it says, built an altar there, laid wood on, bound Isaac and his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I mean, he's intent on following through what God had told him to do. With, I'm sure, a lot of questions in the back of his mind, but complete confidence that God is going to be able to do what he promised to do. Go back to Hebrews 11. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. If I kill him, I know he's coming back to life. Because God promised that he would be the fulfillment of all the promises that he gave to me. That's faith. He obeyed and he followed through. The walk of faith took Abraham from mediocrity to being exceptional. He experienced the fullness of the blessings of God and the power of God in his life. Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? He executed his faith. I believe you, God. So it doesn't matter what you say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow through. As much as it doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to trust you. God desires to take us from mediocrity in our lives to exceptionalism. But it's only by trusting him, by living by faith. So quickly, let me just give you three things about this. First, God initiates the act of faith. God puts that thing out there. You know, God gets blamed for a lot of things that he has no part of. But there's times when God gets involved. God intervenes. And we need to trust him. He initiates that act of faith. God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. God told him he was going to give him a son. God then told him to sacrifice that son. And God initiated all the acts along the way. He just trusted. He followed God. Anything in your life going on now that God's maybe prodding you a little bit about? Trust him. But secondly, trials reveal our faith. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. God never promised there wouldn't be difficulties in our life. And sometimes those difficulties are for the purpose of demonstrating our faith, or lack thereof. trust him. He says, for a season, if need be, or in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth it, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Those testings are opportunities to reveal our commitment, our trust in God. The walk of faith in each individual in this chapter of Hebrews 11 is demonstrated by response. Now we had that accident on the way home from Kansas, got into Indiana. I think the road started getting kind of bad in Illinois, and I mean, there was wrecks we got held up in and tried to get around, and that's what we're doing when we had the accident. We got down in Indianapolis, downtown Indianapolis, trying to get around a wreck, and we slid through a light and hit a guy. And I'm thinking, Lord, I wasn't asking for this. Lord, I don't want this. And I had a plan, you know, it was about, I think, 8 o'clock when we had the accident, and I was hoping to get to Dayton, Ohio by Monday evening. Obviously, we didn't make it. But the interesting thing about all this, and you know, you say, well, what was God teaching you? I don't know. But I know God's got something in it. And Sunday night, we left Monday morning and got to Indianapolis by evening. And Sunday night, his church, they have a individual prayer groups on Sunday night. So there were two other couples that showed up at Ben's house and had some time together. And this one older gentleman whose wife lives his daughter lives in Indianapolis. He said, when he got there, he's talking to Ben and Sarah and found out we were leaving. And he says, I want to talk to you before we leave tonight. I says, okay. And so he got ready. They were breaking up and getting ready to go. He says, listen, he says, we have a condo in Indianapolis. And my daughter lives there. We can give you the code to get into the house. It'll be all set up. You have a place to stay if you want. And, no, I've got a plan. We're getting to Dayton, Ohio tomorrow night. You know, but appreciate that, but I don't think we're going to need it. He's, well, if you do, it's there. Just remember that. Guess what? You see, I didn't know what I needed, but God did. God provided us that place to stay. The daughter loaned us a vehicle Tuesday to do some chasing around and get arrangements made to be able to get out of there and get back home again finally. And again, I don't know why God allowed that to happen. But I'm thinking about this and that, okay, God, you provided that place for us to stay for a reason. So I know this whole thing is in your hand. So I'm going to trust you. We haven't heard yet whether the car is fixable or not, but that's in God's hand. That's the way we're to live our lives. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. But we need to step back and say, there it is, God. You take care of it. You take care of me. See, we got the plans made. We got everything mapped out. And suddenly, God takes you on a detour. Why, God? Just trust him. No matter what it is. And some of those detours might be even worse than the one we had to take. But trust him. That the trying your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, might be found with the praise and honor and glory of God. Trials reveal our faith. And thirdly, obedience is a demonstration of our faith. When each of these people acted in faith, they obeyed. They listened, they responded without hesitation, without questioning, without resistance or arguing or negotiating. Obedience is a testimony of my faith. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Keep your finger in Hebrews here. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Passage I'm sure familiar to many, if not all of you. But how powerful, how important these verses are. Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. That's where it gets a little difficult. Well, I don't understand, God. Lean not unto thine own understanding. But what's the purpose, God? Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Okay, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where this has taken me. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. But I acknowledge you. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. We moved here 24 years ago, this month. No, not this month. We moved into our house 24 years ago this month. And that in itself is a story of not knowing where we're going, making some sacrifices to get here, but God directed the steps all the way. It was a year and a half later that this church was started. I had no plan to come here to start a church. The last thing that I ever wanted to do was start a church. I wanted to take a church that was already established. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And he shall direct thy paths. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37, verse 3. Psalm 37, 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. I had the opportunity to give a number of tracts out to people that I never would have seen had we not had that accident. And again, do they bring forth fruit? I don't know. I just did what I'm supposed to do. They got the word, okay? So I did good. For the most part. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest and wait. That nasty four-letter word. Wait patiently. I don't know how many letters that is, but that's also a nasty word. But that's what God wants us to do, because that demonstrates our trust. I don't understand it, God, but you got a purpose. I belong to you, and you're looking out for me, and you're going to lead me in the way. Look at verse 23 of this chapter, 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, and I'm prone to fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. When I start resisting and chafing against God's direction, I fall, but God's right there to pick me back up. and get me back established on trusting and waiting patiently for what God wants to do. None of these people in Hebrews 11 knew what the outcome of what God was doing in their lives would be. They just trusted with what was before them and the next step. The steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, we've read it already, read it again. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 6 of chapter 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This isn't our home. This is only temporary. There's a place that the Lord is preparing for us right now if you're his child. That's where our treasures ought to be laid up. And that's where we ought to be looking for the reward. In the meantime, there's some trials, some struggles, some difficulties that we'll be going through, but that's all to enhance the inheritance that is laid up for us. You know what this world needs? It doesn't need a better politician. I'm thankful for the way the election turned out. And I look forward to what's going to happen, already what's taking place. But my hope is not in President Donald J. Trump. My hope's in Jesus Christ. Because that's where my eternal hope is laid up. You know, we're to pray for our president, pray for those all in authority over us. But our hope is to be in Jesus Christ. And what this world needs is to see God's people putting their faith and trust not in the government, not in a politician, but in God. To be that light, as Jason was talking about in Sunday school, holding forth the word of light that others might see and be drawn to Jesus Christ. They need to see us unmistakably and actively trusting in God and see God's working in our lives, and us being quick to give glory and honor to him for what he's done. To know that there is hope beyond this world. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your care for us. For all of your provisions to us. God, I pray for your people here this morning. I thank you for those who have prayed for us. But I don't doubt that there are some here this morning that are suffering far greatly than we have through our experience. God, may make yourself strong on their behalf. Reveal yourself to them in a special way. God, help us as your people to rely upon you, to even depend upon you in that what's called the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. One of the phrases is, give us this day our daily bread. God, we trust too much in ourselves to provide everything for us. And we don't look to you. Yeah, I know we have money in the bank account and the cupboards are full and So why do I need to pray and trust that God for that? Because he told us to. An acknowledging of you in our lives. And so God, help your people to do that today. God, I pray that you can take my feeble words this morning and be an encouragement and a help to them in this regard. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to number